We're continuing today in our series called Reset. And every new year is a great opportunity to reset our life, to reset our habits, to look at where we've been in this last year, maybe recalibrate where we're going in the next year, in this year. And one of the things we've been doing is we've been talking about this idea of reset. Obviously, we're using a video game illustration, how you can press reset and go back to the beginning. But here's the thing. Here's the way it works in our life is what we're really talking about is resurrection. The resurrection isn't just something that happened 2,000 years ago, what Jesus did when he raised from the grave, but resurrection and reset is what God wants to do in our lives. And what we know is that since Jesus had the power to get out of that grave on Easter, it means that Jesus has the power to resurrect or to reset any area of our life. And so that's what we're talking about, how to do that. How do we do that in this new year? Because it's a great time to really set a new course and a new direction. And so we've been talking about different areas, how we can experience reset. Last week we talked about our need for community, why we need to live life connected. I want to encourage you to listen to that if you haven't, if you weren't here, listen to it online because there are great nuggets in there. But today we're going to be talking about an area of our life that many of us, we deal with this area all the time, but most of us would say, look, this is an area where, I really need a reset. Maybe it's not a complete redo, but a reset, a recalibration, and that is the area of our finances. And regardless of where you stand financially, I imagine that all of us, whether it's, hey, great picture, or whether it's, oh, got some work to do, maybe I think all of us would raise our hand and say, if we're honest, I'd like to be in a little bit better place financially in this next year. I'd like to do a little bit better. I'd like to do a whole lot better, some of us. But the thing is, many of us, all of us were coming off the holiday season, right? And things might have been looking really good 2016, and then the holidays, Christmas and birthdays and all these things happen. And we might find ourselves in this new year starting off a little bit more stressed, a little bit more strapped. Others of you may say, you know what, like we're doing pretty good financially. We could just maybe use a few tweaks, a few things to help us to go to the next level, to accomplish our goals. And then there's other people I know. I have sat at the table. I've heard conversations with people as I've met with people who say, sometimes fighting back tears of how much pressure they are feeling financially, how much finances, something that is could either be a great blessing or it can be something that cannot be that. How many times that pressure and stress is causing that money and debt is placing on their life, on their faith, on their family, on their dreams. And oftentimes people will say, like, I want to do things differently, but I just, with where I am now, I don't know if it's really possible to ever be where we want to be. And we know that since, when God gets involved, everything is possible. We can't change the past, but Jesus can help us to move forward into the future. And so here's why we're talking about this in church. It's like, okay, why are we like, let's get to the faith stuff, Here's why we're talking about this in church. It's because money management is ministry. Money management is ministry. I have seen family after family that this is the one area that prevents them from doing what God wants them to do. Or this is the one area that creates strain in your life and in your family. And God wants to break down those barriers and to show us a different path. In fact, Jesus did all sorts of things in the scripture. He healed the sick. He fed 5,000 plus people, right? He did all sorts of things to help people where they were hurting, right? And it's no wonder that, did you know, Jesus talked more about how we manage our finances, money management, than about heaven all throughout the Bible. He talked more about how we manage our money than about heaven. Kind of crazy. It's because Jesus knew that this is that one area that for so many times money has a way of having a hold on us. And Jesus wants to free us from that so that nothing has a hold on us except for Jesus, so that we're freed to do what God is calling us to do. Not serving stuff and not serving our money, but using and leveraging our money so we can follow and serve God and we can do what God has called us to do. And so Jesus taught us a little bit about some principles, about stuff like this. Like, he taught us to use money not as the goal of our life, Like, it shouldn't be the goal of our life, but he tells us stuff like, it's just a tool. It's a resource. I mean, if you were to take a dollar bill out of your pocket, it's just paper. It's just paper. It's a tool. It's a resource. It has value, but it's not, it's neutral. It's not, you know, good. It's not bad. It's one of those things where we get to decide how we leverage it. We choose where it goes and what it's going to serve. And so today, it's going to be a really, really practical day, lots of nuts and bolts stuff. But I want to talk with you about three mindsets as we get started. Three mindsets that can kind of get us off course financially and where we want to be. And these three mindsets, the reason they're important is because the way we think shapes how we behave. Instead of just talking about the behavior and do this, do that, I think God wants us to put on a different mindset about the way we leverage, the way we use, the way we manage our money and our possessions. And so here's the very first mindset that really sometimes prevents us from being who God wants us to be and really gets us off track financially. The first mindset is this: forgetting that God is the owner and we are the manager. That God is the owner and that we're the manager. Now, if you've grown up in church, you're like, yeah, I know that. This is a super big concept. It's a great concept when you really grab it. In fact, James chapter 1, verse 17, it says this. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. See, the thing is what God wants us to do is to realize that every single gift, every earning we receive, every blessing in our life, every relationship, every gift, every opportunity is a gift from Him. And the truth is, when you realize that everything that you have is a gift from your Heavenly Father, you start to see your possessions very, very differently. You start to really value everything that you already have instead of looking around at everything you don't have. And so here's the thing is, it's kind of like, okay, great, sounds good on the Bible. God's the owner. Yeah, right. I go to work, right? I'm the one that pays the bills. Here's the thing. God is the one who gives you the health. God is the one that gives you the ability and the gifts and the intelligence to do what you do. He enables you to do all that, to make a living. And so one of the things that I've found to be kind of helpful to remind myself, I heard this from somebody else one time and I thought, that's awesome, is this silly kind of simple discipline. What if the next time you get a paycheck, some of us still get those on a check and we take it to the bank, some of us get it electronically, right? But the next time you get any kind of earning, what if you were to just take a moment to not just breeze by and, you know, go to the next thing, but just to pause and to thank God that He gave that to you. He allowed you to have it. I mean, one of the things you can do is to pray that prayer of that scripture as a prayer. God, I know that every good and perfect gift comes from You. So thank You. Thank You for giving me an opportunity to earn this. Thank You. I receive this as a gift from Your hands. See, here's the thing. God has the power. God is the great giver. He's the owner. And it's our job to manage what God has given us. In fact, there's a great story about this that Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 25. Jesus, it's called the parable of the talents or the parable of the bags of gold. You're going to read it like that. But here's how the story goes. It's all about how we manage what we've been given. Here's what it says, Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. It says, again, it's talking about the kingdom of God, Jesus is saying. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag, each according to what? His ability. He says, then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. And so this is just a story that Jesus is telling. And it's to illustrate something bigger. And he's like, hey, there's 3 guys, right? You've all heard jokes about, like, you know, there's 3 different types of people, you know, before. But there's 3 guys, and they're all put in charge of the master's money. Their job is to manage it. And basically what he's saying, this is a story that Jesus tells, but it's giving us insight and really a picture that the master is seen as God. And that it's really so that we look at ourselves in the lives of these 3 people. How we choose to manage our money and our gifts and our opportunities, very much like one of these three people. And the truth is, they represent really the story that so many of us tell. And I think as we go through the rest of this story, we're going to look at this and say, what's the kind of story that I want to tell? Do I want to be like this one or do I want to be like this one? What story do I want to tell? And so these guys are known, really, they're really stewards. They're stewards. You heard that word stewards, stewardship before. You don't really hear that outside the walls of the church. You know, it's kind of like a church term. So if somebody ever says, oh, I'm just trying to steward what I, you know, they've been to church before, right? It's in the Bible. But here's the thing. We don't call it that today. What would we call if you're entrusted to manage somebody else's money? It would be called like an asset manager. That's what these guys are. Or an account manager, right? You're put in charge of the master's money. Manage it well, right? And so it's not their money. It's their master's. Their job is to just manage it. And so one's given five, one's given three, and one's given one. And this is where most of us raise our hand. If this is our life, we raise our hand and say, well, why did they get five and I only got three, right? Why did I only get one and they got three? You know, whatever it is. And it's because this principle, it's because God gives according to our ability and how faithfully God believes we're going to manage what's put in our hands. It's not just about ability. God gives according to our ability and how faithfully we're going to manage what we've been given. And the same is true for you and for me when it's talking about money, gifts, and opportunities. And so in the parable, just to summarize what happens, the master returns after a long time away, and he checks in on, hey, how's his managers doing? How are they doing? And he comes to find out that the one he entrusted with the most, the five talents or the five bags of gold, he realizes that this person has put the five to use, and all of a sudden, it's doubled it. Now, the master has 10 because he was so faithful. Now, here's the second thing. He checks in with the third one. Even though he didn't get as much, checks in with the third one. And the one who got three produced three more. He doubled it. And the interesting thing is, regardless of how much they started with and how much they produced, the master's response is the very same for both of these guys. Here's what it says, Matthew 25:21. It says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Most of us are like, yes, sign me up for that. Like, we want the many things, but you've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. See, both these guys are honored. Both of them received even more. And it's all because they managed what God put in their hand, what the master put in their hands. They managed it well. And so our job in life is not to look around and mope around of they got this and I don't have this many gifts, you know, all these things. Our job is to realize what God has put in our hands and how can I effectively manage everything that God has entrusted to my care. Now, sadly, there's this other guy who had one talent. The master gave him one talent for a good reason, because the guy who had one, he buried it in the dirt because he didn't trust the master. He thought the master was going to be greedy and stingy and he wasn't going to have anything left over. And so here's how the master responds. He scolded him. The master said, you wicked and lazy servant. Yikes, right? He was careless. He didn't manage it well. See, our job on this earth and with what God has given us is to say, God, how can I manage? How can I leverage what you've given me? Since you're the owner, how do I manage it well? Here's the second mindset that can get us off track financially, and it's really this. It's this mindset that I've got to have more. I've got to have more. You like that gotta? For those grammar people, you know, we can be casual, right? I've got to have more. It's one of those things where in our lives, no matter how much I have, more means that I'm not going to be satisfied. I'm not going to be content. I'm not going to be happy. I'm always thinking about what's next. The newer, better, bigger, faster, shinier, you know, with more engine power, right? I'm always looking for more, right? Talking to the guys here, right? But here's the thing that happens with this mindset of more is we carry this into our financial picture. And I have to tell you, I've done this so many times where it's easy for us when we're really, really tight financially to think that the answer is more. Like if I only made more, if we only got that bonus, if we only did this, you know, if we only had more, then we could make it. Then we could do what we're supposed to do. Now here's the thing. Here's what Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10 says. It says, whoever loves money never has enough. Now, most of our aren't like, yep, I love money. But we love what money gets us. That's great. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. I mean, so many people waste their life always wishing that they were something else or somewhere else or had something else. And what a crummy way to live, never being content with everything God has put in your hands. And so it goes back to the parable of the talent. Instead of us asking God, God, give us more, God, give us more, I think God wants us to start by being faithful with what we've been given. The answer isn't always more income. Sometimes it's, I want you to manage what I've given you well. And sometimes I'll open up those opportunities for more. And so here's the third mindset that can get us off track financially. And this is kind of the funny one. Flying blind, number three, flying blind or flying without a plan. You know, my parents have these bay windows, and when they first moved into the house, it was not funny, but weird. You know, it was weird funny because we would find all these birds that were just, you know, they'd like crashed in the window, and they're all like laying there on the deck. It was, you know, it's kind of cruel and stuff, but I mean, I guess the windows were so clean that the birds didn't realize, and they just kept splatting on these windows. And just think, if you were a bird, right, just imagine being a bird, putting on blindfolds and trying to fly around with all these obstacles everywhere. Like, forget about windows. Like, you'd be bumping into buildings. You know, you'd be bumping into trees. You'd be like those, you know, birds who splatted on my parents' window, right? It's like, ooh, you know. But here's the thing. That's what it's like when we fly blind. And so many times we fly without a plan. Think about a pilot. Before a pilot takes off, he needs to know two things: where he is and where he's going. Without knowing where you are and without knowing where you're going, you just fly around aimlessly. You run out of gas and things go badly, right? And so here's what it says, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 23 and 24. It says this: be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds. For riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations. Now, this is an agricultural society. We don't have like goats and sheep and, you know, herd laying around. But what it's basically saying is you need to know the condition of where you are. You know, and so one of the best starting places for all of us financially is to know where we are, to get the brutal facts. Now, some of us, we do our, you know, finances like this. It's like, doing it blind. We don't want to check our bank account because I don't know what I'm going to see, right? Like, we're going to go out to eat. We don't want to check it. You know, let's just see what happens. Hopefully it goes through, right? And it's one of those things where when we fly blind, we don't know where we are and we can't set a course for where we're going. And so our job is to make a plan to tell our money where to go, to make it behave the way we want it to. And so here's what we're going to do with the rest of our time. It's a lot of content, I know. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to share with you, just be as accessible as possible, as practical as possible about the plan God has for our lives. And this is not something, when you hear a plan, you know, it's like, I don't want somebody telling me what to do, right? Especially when it comes to our money. That's the one area of our life that we're like, I don't want to hear even what God says. I'm going to do what I want to do, right? Here's the thing. If you will be open to how God wants to speak into your life, how much God loves you so much and wants to help you in this area, then you can experience so much freedom. You can experience so many, you can live in such a way that honors God in so many different ways. And so here's what we're going to do today. Let's go ahead and get our table up here. You may recognize this table other than the names. You might know what that kind of table is. You're like, yeah, I was at that last night. It's the poker table, right? It's a poker table. Now, here's the thing. With this poker table, obviously we have some words up here, but we're going to use this table to talk about, in a fun way, how do we play the game of life with our finances? How do we do our finances the way God wants us? How do we play our cards right? How do we play our finances right? So what we're going to do is, you see in the middle, there's this really important one that we all love. Earnings, right? Those are our earnings. That represents everything that we earn, everything that we receive. And so when we start at the center of the table with our earnings, I want us to remember every time we earn anything in our life, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. And so we're going to see our earnings that we receive as a gift from God. So we won't be looking around that I got to get more, being ungrateful for what we've already been given by God. And so here's the thing we're supposed to do, because the way you play the table and the order matters tremendously. Here's the thing. The very first thing we're supposed to do with our earnings, the very first place our money is supposed to go, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to start at the top. We're supposed to start at the top of the table to take a portion of all of our earnings, with the threshold being 10%. Obviously, we can work up to that and everything, but to give that to God as an act of worship. Here's a scripture for you, Proverbs 3, verses 9 through 10. It says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine." Your barns and your vats, what in the world? Basically, it's saying when you trust God with your money, then God has a way of multiplying, blessing, and showing you that he can make enough. Now, it doesn't mean God's just going to like, here's all this extra money and stuff like that. What I found in my life is when you order your life in such a way that you give to God first, that you find that when you get to the end of it, God sets the trajectory of how you spend the rest of your money. You find that you're not overspending anymore because you realize, God, you're the owner of it. I thank you for everything that I've been given. And you start to manage the rest of your money very, very differently. And so it means that every pay period becomes a spiritual practice. Every pay period is a demonstration of God's faithfulness to you because God gave it to you. And it's an opportunity for you to display your obedience and your love and your trust for God. And so you do that by commanding and telling your earnings that you're going to go to God first. And so, you know, that means that the very first check, the very first transaction, think about how powerful this is. It's like we're saying, God, I thank you so much for what I've been given. Everything comes from your hands, and I want to give this to you to say that I trust you and I love you. And I pray that you would use that to do what you want to do in this world and in your kingdom. Now, I want us to realize the holy moment that is when all of us decide in some kind of way to honor God first with our finances. No matter what we give, no matter what we, here's how it plays out. There are so many things that we do in the church world, in spiritual life, that is corporate, if you think about it. You know, there's so many things we come to worship and we got people, hey, what's going on? We're cheering each other on. We're worshiping God. We can pray corporately. But giving is that one area that when you give, nobody's usually around when you're writing that check. Nobody's usually around when you're setting that, you know, payment out online. Nobody's saying, way to go. You're putting God first, right? What usually happens is it's just you and God. It's this very private discipline. But think about how holy that is to God. When you choose that your first check, your first transaction, to put God first in your life. Think about what God thinks about that, how it honors your heavenly Father. And a great way to do this, technology makes it easy. So you can even set that thing up on recurring giving online at the beginning of the year to come out every month or however you do it. And at the end of 2017, you can look back and realize, wow, we were able to honor God all year with our finances. And look at all these blessings that God put in our lives and the life of his church. And so here's the thing, after we give to God first, start at the top of the table, the second step, the scripture tells us, after we honor God with our earnings, each month, the second thing we're to do is to put some money away in an emergency fund. Put some money away in an emergency fund. In fact, here's what it says, Proverbs 6, 6 through 8. It says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. I don't like that part. It says, learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter. Have you ever noticed, like, seems like winter comes like every year, you know? It's kind of crazy, except for in Atlanta, right? We don't have it quite as much, but it's like weird. Winter comes every year. It's like set up that way or something. And have you noticed that, like, things and emergencies in our life kind of seem to crop up, maybe not every year, but every once in a while? Some of us are in a season where it's like, yep, they're coming up all the time right now. But here's the thing. Stuff happens. Stuff breaks. Things get old and they wear out. And scripture tells us that we would be wise to have the same, to match the brain power of all the ants. What do? They know winter's coming. They know that emergency time is coming. So they start storing away, so that when it comes, it's not a, oh no, what do we do? It's kind of like we prepared for it. We planned for it. And so it's one of those things where when we're overspent or we don't have any savings, it always leads to more debt. Dave Ramsey, if you're familiar with him, Financial Peace University, he teaches, but he tells that after you give your first fruits to God, talking about emergency fund, he says your number one, baby step number one, is to put $1,000 in an emergency fund. $1,000 in an emergency fund. This is baby step number one. If you're trying to get on track financially. Now, he tells us you want to do it as fast as you can, in the first 30 days if you can. Do it, go crazy, skip a meal, change your lifestyle, get $1,000 as quick as you can, because when that roof starts to leak or when the car breaks down, you don't have to put it on credit anymore. You say, okay, we prepared for it. I don't want to use it, but here's some of our emergency fund, right? And you don't go into debt. It reduces pressure in your life and your family. I can't tell you how much to put in your emergency fund. You have to decide that. A lot of financial leaders suggest putting 3 to 6 months operating, how much that costs you to live. But you can decide what that is for you. So we're doing this monthly. So we give to God. We put some away in our emergency fund. The next thing that we're to do as we go around the wheel, as we go around the table, is we're to pay down debt. So we teach 10-10-80 a lot of times. Give to God for 10, save 10, live on the rest. But if you're in some kind of debt, 10-10-10-70 is a good model. And so the next step, you pay down debt as fast as you can, as fast as you can. You know, most Americans live on 110% of their income, and they put the rest on credit. And it's become kind of normal. If you don't have it, no big deal. We'll put it on credit. We'll pay it off later. And the problem is debt hijacks what you and God want to do with your money. Here's what Proverbs 22 says. It says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender. That means that when you're in any kind of debt, you're a slave to who you owe. And it's one of those things where I think in our life, I think the Bible would echo this, but I think God wants us to just get to a point where we just hate debt. We can't stand debt. Like almost like that SEC football team that like you don't even know like who to cheer for. You just hate them both. And you're like, maybe the stadium will just blow up or something. Like, I just hate them that much. Maybe that's just me, right? Jesus has to work on me. But you hate it that much, like a dirty diaper or like, whatever it is. There's things on the news. You're like, this is awful. You hate it so much that you just want to do everything you can to get away from it. And Dave Ramsey says, when you hate debt that much, you attack it from the smallest to the biggest. It's different from the way most of us do. We usually do the biggest, 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 but it's all about momentum. He talks about the debt snowball. And one of the things that we're to do, you don't have to just pay minimum payments. As you can pay minimum payments and all this stuff, but you start with the smallest debt, that little nuisance, and you pay that off as quick as you can, as fast as you can. And when you do that, it creates momentum. Then you take what you were, let's say you were doing $30 a month or whatever. You take that $30 that you paid off now and you put that into your next amount of debt. And you do it with the gazelle-like intensity as fast as you can. And pretty soon you're going to get to a place where you're honoring God with your wealth. You have some money in your emergency fund. You're paying down debt. And then you can get to a place where you can start saving, investing, building some wealth. But here's the thing. Many of us get to a point where our excuse is kind of like, well, how can I do that? My living expenses eat up all or most of my earnings. Like, there's no way that I can do that. We don't have the margin in our life to live like that. And when I hear that, it's like, there is so much hope. There is so much hope and so much grace. Because here's the thing. The problem with that is that we're running the table the wrong way. You can't run the table counterclockwise, because when you move from earning to living expenses, man, and you try to figure out how to do the rest of it, you'll never have enough. This is why God wants us to run the table clockwise. If I start in my life, man, I can spend some money. We did this $1 million project when I was in fourth grade, and we're supposed to spend all of $1 million. And man, you like cut out boats and stuff. Man, I spent that money easy. Like, it was awesome spending money. I could do it fast, right? But most of us decide, like, what kind of house do I want to live in? What kind of car? What kind of lifestyle do I want to have? But if you start from earnings and then your living expenses, then all of a sudden, like, you're never going to make it. You're never going to be where you want to be. This is why we got to run the table clockwise. And when you do, you find peace and freedom, and you honor God as a manager. You know, when we get to the end of our life, all of us are going to be asked, we're going to see Jesus face, or see our Heavenly Father face to face. And we're all going to be asked two questions. What did you do? Number one, what did you do with my son, Jesus? How did you respond to Jesus? That's the faith question. That's like, are you getting in? You're right. Are you getting into heaven? The second question we're going to be asked is how did you manage everything I put in your hands? How did you leverage? How did you manage what you put in my hands, what I put in your hands? And my prayer is that on that day, that maybe we don't get everything right in our life, but there's so much grace here. But my prayer is that we would live our life in such a way that we would hear our master say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share in your father's and your master's happiness.